Hello, it is Thursday, September 16th. I am Trent Reinsmith, and this is another episode of the Come On Now MMA podcast. Today's topics: Dana White is not an admirable boss or leader. In fact, I believe he is a cowardly leader, and I will explain why. Stephen Bonner is in some trouble, and maybe the UFC should consider forming a grant or a series of grants to help UFC fighters who are in trouble. The doctor who approved Evander Holyfield for competition in Florida explains why he did. I think that his explanations are a cop-out, and I'll explain why. And Joe Rogan threatens to sue CNN over their statements about him and ivermectin. And I don't think Rogan has a leg to stand on. And I also think that Rogan lied about the use of the drug for COVID-19 by omission when he said it was, you know, approved for humans and won the Nobel Prize. Both of those things are true. Neither of those things are related to COVID-19. And now, on with the show. UFC President Dana White gets applauded a lot of the time for how he handles fighters in the UFC and quote-unquote disciplining of those fighters. I think that the way he handles these fighters is more cowardly than anything, and that he doesn't deserve praise. In fact, I believe he deserves criticism. The incident with Conor McGregor and Machine Gun Kelly is another one of those incidents, and let me talk about that for a little bit. So White was asked about this, as he should have been, and his reply was, "Guys, this is the fight business. I got 700 effing lunatics under contract here. What do you guys think is going to happen? These are things that happen sometimes. This isn't Microsoft. We're in a crazy effing business here. We're in a crazy business, and I think we all know Conor's personality, and we got some guys that are like that. These guys are fighters, and this is the fight business, and crazy shit happens in the fight business." This is, to put it bluntly, a cop-out, because I would say that the NFL, the NHL, well, basically the Big Four, I would say that any of these sports, you could say the same thing about these people that are in those sports. They're highly competitive. They're going to be amped up a lot of the time. A lot of people in these sports have, you know, questionable personalities sometimes, and have done questionable things in the past. And one thing I don't think I've ever heard Roger Goodell or Gary Bettman say, well, this is the NHL or the NFL business, and crazy things happen in this business, and oh well, what can we do? So it's an excuse to let the UFC fighters run wild. It's an excuse to not do anything about the UFC fighters, because if you make an example of someone like Conor McGregor, say, well, that then you just cut off the cash flow. And the UFC doesn't want to cut off the cash flow. So instead of actually, you know, doing something, they make excuses and say it's the fight game. Now, let me remind you that Dana White likes to brag that the UFC is the biggest game in town in MMA, and likes to compare himself, when it suits him, to other sports like the NFL, MLB, NHL, NBA, soccer. He loves to throw out those comparisons when it suits him. He loves to tell you that the UFC is a business worth $9 to $10 billion. And if you have a business worth $9 to $10 billion, that's not the local tough guy competition. That's a professional business, and that's a business that, you know, should have some HR, not requirements, but some guidelines. The UFC's guidelines seem to be, we'll deal with them as they come up, and mostly we'll just ignore them. Now, let's not forget, the UFC is the same organization where a couple years ago swore up and down it was going to get Jeremy Stephens out of jail when he was arrested for a bar brawl. It's the same sport and organization that signs domestic abusers and lets them have a third chance at a sports career. It's a very forgiving organization, not because it's a well-run organization, but because it's a greedy organization that's forgiving as long as the scofflaws can make the UFC money. So Dana White's not a good boss. Dana White's a cowardly boss. He's a weak boss. And sooner or later, that's going to bite him in the ass. Now, I'm not saying that this incident with Machine Gun Kelly, I'm not comparing that to what I'm going to say next. But I'm going to say What if? We're going to put this in a what if situation because it's not an implausible situation here. What if someone in the UFC, you know, kills someone? Then what? Is it because then you have some 700 savages under your thumb? Is that, you know, well, you know, we knew what we were getting. The guy's a savage and he murdered someone. Are you going to be forgiving then? Is that a line? Is there a line? Right now, there's no line. You know, the worse you are, the more money you can make for the UFC, the more forgiving Dana White is. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say, and they're going to agree with White, that it's the fight business. Don't forget that the fight business generates billions of dollars. The fight business that White's involved in answers to Disney, ESPN, the stockholders now of Endeavor. It's not Dana White and his friends anymore. It's a business, a big business generating billions of dollars. Dana White's not a good boss. He's not a good leader. He's a terrible leader, a terrible boss, and he's a coward. That's it. So don't applaud him for not doing anything. It's not something that he should brag about. It's not a good sign. It's not good leadership. It's, like I said, it's cowardly leadership based on the bottom line. And if you can make Dana White money, you're forgiven. We'll see one day how forgiving Dana White is when someone does step over whatever the line the UFC has. And after years of, you know, ignoring it, encouraging it, making excuses for it, when White does finally come down on someone, it's going to ring incredibly hollow and it's going to be very easy to see through. But until then, coward's going to coward. Let's see what we have here. Stephen Bonner is in a bad situation. And I encourage you to look up the video interview that Stephen Morocco did with him on MMA Fighting. And make your decisions on what you think of Bonner and what he's going through based on that interview and based on the reporting that Morocco and others have done on Bonner. I'm not here to judge Stephen Bonner in any way, shape, or form, but what I am here to say is that the UFC might want to think about doing something like this. And I know boxing has some organizations that do this, but perhaps the UFC should start a fund and have grants for fighters who are in dire straits in some way, shape, or form, be it medical help, mental health help, financial help, financial assistance, and start some kind of grant program. It'll be great PR, for one, and for two, the money is there, and the money that is there was made by these fighters. So we know the UFC, you know, the excuse is going to be, well, where's the money going to come from? The money's going to come from the UFC because we know, Dana White will say we don't know, but we know that over 80% of the revenue goes to the UFC. Been that way for a long, long time. And now you have a UFC Hall of Famer who's in need of some help, whether it's medical help, mental health help, addiction help, financial help, I don't know. Maybe it's all of those, maybe it's none of those, but he's in some kind of situation where he needs help from the UFC. And so maybe, you know, you start these programs with the money the UFC fighters have already made for the UFC and figure out a way to help the fighters. Like I said, it's great PR, which shouldn't be the reason to do it. But I mean, if the UFC needs a reason to do it other than altruistic reasons, PR would probably be the best one for the UFC because it doesn't get much good PR. So maybe start that. Maybe start a fund for assisting fighters in need, because even if it's not something that is needed now, which it is, it's 100% going to be something that is needed in the future. So get in front of it. Start stocking the coffers with the money now. And, you know, when you have the money in there, you make money based on, you know, the interest that money can gain. And then you'll have money to help in the future because you're going to need it. And if you don't need it to help, you're probably going to need it when someone decides that they're going to sue you for not caring about them, which I don't think is out of the question either. Is this going to happen? I highly doubt it. Would I like to see it happen? Absolutely. Should it be something that gets brought up? Absolutely. Maybe ask White about it. He's not going to answer me, that's for sure. But maybe somebody can ask him about this. Hey, you have some fighters that are in need. What can you do to help them out? What kind of programs can you set up? What kind of grants can you put together? What can you do to help not just specific fighters that you liked, but all the fighters? Maybe do that. Maybe ask Dana White that. It would be nice. Am I counting on that going to happen? No, I'm not. So we saw the doctor who approved Evander Holyfield speak about why he approved Evander Holyfield to fight in Florida. And while I understand what he said and everything he said was correct, he based his approval on Holyfield on just how the commission writes things to get for a fighter to get approved to fight in Florida. So technically, Evander Holyfield checked all the boxes to get approved to fight in Florida in a short amount of time. I believe the California State Athletic Commission said that they would not approve Holyfield because they did not have enough time to review his case and give him a thorough vetting. And so they said no approval for a fighting license for Evander Holyfield, which I commend them for, because I think that was the right thing to do, because he's a fighter who is of an advanced age. And I think the most important part of this is that in 2005, when he was 42, Holyfield was not denied a license in New York State, it was suspended. And the reason New York State gave in 2005 was, quote, poor performance and diminished skills. And that's not something that the Florida Commission considered. So Florida Commission considered strictly medical protocol when it approved Holyfield for a license. And again, that's their right. But I also still think it's a cop-out. And they will say, well, who are they to say that a fighter can't earn a living if he checks all the boxes in his medicals? Well, the commission's the party that says that a fighter can't earn a living, because that's kind of their role. Their role is to protect the fighter. New York State said they were going to protect this fighter by suspending his license because of his diminished skills and poor performance. Florida didn't even consider that. They considered strictly medical protocol. And I think every fighter should have their skills, their performance considered before they are approved for a license, especially fighters that are older, because I think they are more susceptible to injury. And I know I think California are two of the states that have special requirements for fighters over a certain age. I don't know what the ages are. I'm going to study that and have a story about that soon. But I know that there are ages associated with certain approvals from certain states. Obviously, Florida is not one of those. And so it should be. And I believe that every state should also consider the skill set of a fighter and take that into account. Just because you can approve somebody, like Florida did with Holyfield, does not mean you should approve somebody. The State Athletic Commission is there to protect the fighters, just like the referees there, just like the doctors are there during fight night to protect the fighters. That protection includes not allowing them to fight if they are unfit in some way, anyway, to fight. Florida didn't consider that in the case of Evander Holyfield. I think that what they did was a cop-out. I think what they did was the easy way out. And I think it hurt the commission. Hopefully they will learn from this, but I seriously, seriously doubt it. Joe Rogan has said that he was going to consider suing CNN because they made things up about him when he said he took ivermectin as part of his treatment plan for COVID-19. I think he was upset because Acosta said that he had taken horse dewormer. And then he went on and said that he took a drug that was approved for humans and that it won the Nobel Prize in 2005. And what I have a problem with here is that Rogan accused Acosta of lying by saying that he took a horse dewormer, while then Rogan turned around and by the same token lied about ivermectin in relation to COVID-19. Now, Rogan's lie was a lie of omission. Still a lie. If you know the facts and leave part of those facts out to further your misrepresentation of what you're going to say, that's a lie of omission. Now, I believe Rogan probably, I have to believe that Rogan knew enough that he was making things up about ivermectin, the Nobel Prize, and treatment in humans. But if he didn't, well, here's some facts. So, yes, ivermectin did win the Nobel Prize in 2015, I think it is here. I'm reading from the press release from the Nobel Prize in Physiology and Medicine 2015. Two doctors, I believe, won the Nobel Prize for their discoveries concerning a novel therapy against infections caused by roundworm parasites. I'll repeat that again. They won it based on their therapy against infections in roundworm parasites, not COVID-19. So what it says here is that ivermectin was tested in humans with parasitic infections and effectively killed parasitic larvae. And the contributions led to the discovery of a new class of drugs with extraordinary efficacy against parasitic diseases. So it was for parasitic diseases, which worms are parasitic diseases. Now, nowhere in this Nobel Prize winning press release by the Nobel Foundation is ivermectin mentioned as a drug that treats COVID-19. So yes, it won the Nobel Prize. No, that Nobel Prize was not for anything related to what Rogan took the drug for. Now, if Rogan had parasitic infections unrelated to COVID-19, which, hey, he could have, well, then he got the drug from a doctor to treat those parasitic infections. But if he got the drug to treat COVID-19, as we also know, and according to the FDA, and according to Merck, who manufactures the drug, it is not approved for COVID-19. And so Rogan left out a giant chunk of factual information when he made his statement that he was going to sue CNN, which, if you're going to accuse someone of lying about you, make sure you don't lie about what they are allegedly lying about you about, if that makes any sense. So Rogan said that they lied about him taking a dewormer, which, according to the Nobel Prize, it is a parasitic infection-fighting drug, not a COVID-19-fighting drug. The FDA does not approve it for COVID-19. The manufacturer does not approve it for COVID-19 treatment. But yet, Rogan's going to sue CNN? No. I don't think Rogan has a leg to stand on. I think it was bluster. I think it was a way to move the conversation. I think it was a way to get people to believe that what he was saying was true. I think it was another instance of Rogan willingly spreading misinformation because, yeah, approved for humans for use for parasitic infections, which COVID-19 is not. Now, I know a lot of people are going to parrot that Nobel Prize speech that Rogan gave, but I implore you to read the reason the drug was given the Nobel Prize and the individuals who discovered the use for the drug were given the Nobel Prize. It was not for COVID-19. I can't repeat that enough times. It was for parasitic infections. COVID-19 is not a parasitic infection. Rogan left out a giant chunk of information. Don't be like Joe Rogan. Study things thoroughly. Don't just Rogan-splain things. Know the facts. Know all the facts before you make a statement and try and defend Joe Rogan here. He was out of line. He misrepresented what the drug was about. He misrepresented what the drug was awarded the Nobel Prize for. But it fit his narrative, and now the mindless minions that follow Joe Rogan around parrot that statement. He's a dangerous person. He takes advantage of gullible people who do less research than him and believe that he is some kind of expert in anything. Meanwhile, when he gets pushed on certain things or is shown to be wrong on certain things, he'll revert to his "I'm just an idiot, don't listen to me" speech, which also, no, doesn't work that way. You can't make these fantastical statements and then just be like, "Well, I'm an idiot, don't listen to me." You're a man who is paid to talk about things, and a man who is kind of respected by a lot of people and kind of believed by a lot of people. If you knowingly misrepresent things, that's not good. And Spotify should know that Rogan's out here misrepresenting things. So again, Rogan's not going to sue CNN. He's also, again, misrepresenting what the drug is for and what it won the Nobel Prize for. And those are the facts. I mean, that was written by the Nobel press release for the Nobel Prize, and the drug manufacturer and the FDA are also both saying that it's not approved for COVID-19. And I think Merck, if I remember, said that it was kind of the research was incomplete and there was nothing to base the fact that it would help in COVID-19. So let's be realistic here and let's not take everything that Joe Rogan says as a fact. He misrepresented what the Nobel Prize was for. He misrepresented what the drug was approved in humans for. And so at least with that, you know, take the things that Joe Rogan says with a grain of salt. Don't believe him. He's not going to sue CNN because he really has no reason to sue CNN. Because it sounds like what CNN said, maybe the horse dewormer part was a bit of an exaggeration. But a drug that fights parasitic infections, you know, it's easy to say that drug's a dewormer since worms are parasites. So again, Rogan misrepresented things. And please do your own research. Even if Rogan says something, at least try and figure out what's right, what's wrong, and where the gray areas are before you parrot what he says. He's not an expert. But he has people believing he is. And I think that's another reason why Joe Rogan's a dangerous person. And on that note, call it a night. I will be back. Until then, everyone, stay safe.